This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Managing Anger.
If you got your flyer with the monthly sermon titles, I titled the month of June, Summer Reruns, and some are not, but Summer Reruns, sermons you've heard before but may need to hear again. And I prayed over these sermons, and the Lord has said to my heart that somebody here needs to hear this message this morning. Maybe it's you, but somebody needs to hear this message in the weeks ahead. This story, the names of Gilbert and Sullivan are well known to music lovers around the world. They produced 14 operas together in the period from 1871 to 1896. Gilbert's words allied with Sullivan's music, and it produced magic. The tragedy, however, is that the two men detested each other. The problem arose because Sullivan ordered some carpet for the theater that they had bought, and when Gilbert saw the bill, he hit the roof. That sounds like your typical church, doesn't it? Neither could control his temper, and the two battled it out in court. They never spoke to one another again as long as they lived. When Sullivan wrote the music for a new production, he mailed it to Gilbert. When Gilbert wrote the words, he mailed it back to Sullivan. Once they were forced to be together during a curtain call, but they stood on opposite sides of the stage and bowed in different directions so they wouldn't have to see each other. They knew how to make beautiful music, but they knew nothing about harmony. Amen? You know people like that? Don't look at me. So we look around today and our TV screens and what comes out of Washington, D.C. and what the pundits have to say. It is filled with bitterness and anger and poisonous, unkind words. It just seems to be there is an assault on civility. It seems to me that the country is being split right down the middle, maybe in thirds. Anger. People say we've never seen a time like this before, but I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because the book says so. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, there is no new thing under the sun. Whatever has gone on now is gone on before. History merely repeats itself. Nothing that occurs is actually new. We just don't have memory or have forgotten what's happened in the past. The writer of Ecclesiastes going on to note, in future generations, no one will remember what's going on now. Can you believe it? The stuff that we see every minute foisted down our throats is going to be just a whisper in history until the Lord tarries. The Lord's coming again, amen? I believe wholeheartedly that Jesus is coming again, and it's going to be soon. Anger, violence, killing, anarchy, and division are not new phenomena. They're part of the human story. Let me give you two historical and four biblical examples, and then we'll get to the heart of our lesson, how to handle and how to manage anger. There are two historical examples of anger, violence, and here they are. Number one, the New York City draft riots in 1863. Described in Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States, quote, it was the most destructive period of civil violence in U.S. history, and it occurred during 4 days of rioting in July 1863. The riots were a complex explosion of rage, anti-rich, anti-blacks, anti-Republicans. Secondly, then there was the bloody two-day, quote, great gang fight. Some of you may have seen a movie called The Gangs of New York. This was based on a bunch of gangs that got together in 1857. Here's a quote. Lower Manhattan's Five Point District, that's the Bowery's in Chinatown, was a wretched place in pre-Civil War New York. As if poverty and disease weren't bad enough, powerful gangs backed by local politicians and ignored by a disorganized police department ruled the neighborhood. Such a heavy gang presence meant that anger and violence was a normal part of life. But the great gang fight, also known as the Dead Rabbits Riot, that broke out on July 4th, 1857 was something else. That evening, groups of five-point gangs such as Dead Rabbits, Plug Uglies, invaded a nearby, I think I went out with a sister, but I'm not sure, invaded a nearby Bowery Boys clubhouse. A vicious brawl with other street gangs continued the next day. About 1,000 gang members armed with paving stones, axes, and other weapons fought along Bayard Street between Baxter and the Bowery. Other thieves joined in looting houses and keeping the police at bay. Federal troops finally stopped the violence on the afternoon of July 5th. Officially, 8 men were killed. Unofficially, hundreds. 4 biblical examples of anger. Genesis 27:45. Esau was angry with his brother Jacob for stealing his inheritance. You remember the story of the hairy arm. Genesis 39:19. Potiphar. You remember that Joseph was brought into Potiphar's house. And Joseph was admired by Potiphar's wife. And she made advances to Joseph, and Joseph rejected her. She then went on to tell her husband that Joseph had made advances against her, and Potiphar was very angry against Joseph. Exodus 32:19. Moses was left with anger, hot anger, against the Jewish people who built a golden calf to worship instead of Jehovah God. And what did he do? He took the stones and threw them down on the ground. In 2 Samuel 12:5, David was very angry with the prophet Nathan because Nathan called him out over his sin. Nathan needed a prophet to call him out. We need prophets in America who will stand up and be bold to speak about what's going on in this country and to speak against it. Amen. Do you get angry? Well, we had an interesting Sunday school lesson this morning. Our blood did get a little hot in the course of that class. If you want to know what it was about, come to Sunday school next week and you'll find out. You think I'm going to give that away so easy? No. Do you get angry? What makes you angry? How do you handle your anger? The capacity for angry feelings is in our DNA. To get angry is part of who we are. It's listed in Galatians 5:19-21 as some of the things inherent in our flesh. It's in here. Galatians 5:20 names wrath as one of those things. And wrath means prone to outbursts of anger. Don't look at your husband. Prone to outbursts of anger. It's within us. That capacity for that kind of anger is there. We all get angry at some point over something or someone. The Bible tells us that God gets angry. When it came to Israel's sins, Numbers 32:10 says, and the Lord's anger was kindled. It was aroused. They were throwing gasoline, even though that wasn't gasoline in those days. They were throwing it on the fires of God's anger and wrath. The prophet Nehemiah recalls that though God gets angry, he balances that anger against other qualities in his nature. When people say God is a God of wrath and they put an exclamation point on it, you're not doing justice to the nature of God. He's more than that, although he is that. Listen to what Nehemiah 9:17 says about how God balances against his anger. But thou art, O God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. In those last three words, he forsook them not. Nehemiah says of God, even though you people mess up at every turn, God will never abandon you. God has given you a free will. And in that free will, you will from time to time make bad choices. But in his unconditional love, he will not abandon you. He can't outparent you. In other words, he can't divorce you as a son or daughter of his spirit. You are his child. Children do bad things from time to time, but they can't be divorced of their father and their mother and their blood and their DNA. We have some things to learn about God, what God's word has to say and show us about anger, and the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and our guide this morning. What are some of the things that make people angry? Let me give you 4 examples, 4 sources of people's anger. Number 1, jealousy. Jealousy can be a source of anger. After David killed the giant Goliath, he was celebrated throughout the kingdom like a rock star. You may remember the account as David is riding into the city. And the crowds are out there and all the women, you know, David was a bachelor at that point. All the young ladies are out at the front lines. All the women are out there hanging over their balconies. They're all looking down and they're saying, "Oh, David, it's amazing. Saul has killed thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Wow, David is some rock star." Well, unbeknownst to all of them, the king Saul is hearing this. He hears that David is being elevated. He never heard the word Saul really in a good way. Here's his reaction, 1 Samuel 18, 8 and 9. "And Saul was very wroth, very angry, and the saying displeased him that he had only killed thousands and David had killed tens of thousands. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s. To me, they've ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Saul isn't getting the recognition he thinks he deserves. Sometimes you don't get the recognition you think you deserve. And how do you react to it? Are you angry about it? Do you let it get bitter? People don't love you the way you want to be loved. People don't engage you the way you want to be engaged. People don't come over to you and just pour out love upon you. You don't feel accepted. You don't feel wanted. You don't feel needed in some cases. Well, Saul had that feeling. Not only that, but Saul had the feeling that it wasn't going to be long before David's going to take his kingdom from him. And that he didn't like. And that he wasn't happy. And he knew something, that David was young and David was handsome and that he was strong and that in many ways he was better than Saul. And Saul kept a jealous eye on David. He was, in his anger, waiting for the moment when David will fall from fame and from grace. How many times do we get that feeling about other people? Sometimes, and I think you may have experienced this in your life, when some people we don't like are doing good, we ain't happy about it. Number two, unfair treatment can be a source of anger. As the Jewish leader Nehemiah focuses on rebuilding the broken down walls of Jerusalem, he learns from the people that some unscrupulous community leaders are cheating the ordinary citizens. And here's his reaction, Nehemiah 5:6. "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words." Have you ever felt that you were being treated unfairly by your boss, by your family friends, by your family, at church, unappreciated by the people around you? It's not fair. People cry. That's the thing you hear more than anything these days. It's not fair. Where in God's word did he say life was going to be fair? Anybody? Chapter, verse? Life's not fair, but God is good. Amen? I mean, the world will let us down at every turn. Where is it meant that you should do as well as your rich neighbor? Where is it say that you should be as happy as the next person? There's no place in God's word that it's written. There's no sense in seeing human nature that that could possibly be true. Outcomes differ, and when they differ in someone else's favor, some people get very upset about that, and they get jealous about that, and they get angry about that. Unfair? What's unfair? I know God is fair. I know that when unfair things come into your life, he's watching over you. And he will care for you. And he will get you from that place to a better place than you were before. Number three, disappointment can be a source of anger. Despite Saul's son Jonathan's efforts to settle the rift between King and David, Saul continues to make attempts on David's life. In fact, during an evening meal, Saul picks up a javelin and heaves it in David's direction. What is the message he's trying to send? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Have you ever had people daggers looking at you? Have you ever felt people's anger and they never said a word? Have you ever felt those kinds of negative feelings directed at you? Every one of us, not a person in the room, at some point or another, hasn't felt that and been disappointed. 1 Samuel 20:34. "So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for his father because his father had done him shame." He was disappointed in his dad. He couldn't believe his father would do something like that. The circumstance in your life may have led to disappointment, jobs, school, finances, failed dreams, people letting you down. People and circumstances have let you down at some point in your life. How have you handled it? This is real stuff. This is reality. This is where you are in your life. And the question is not that these things are going to come at you. The question is, once they come in your direction, once they're at your doorstep, once they're sitting next to you, once they're inside, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle it? Number four, harsh treatment can be a source of anger. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Some young people have been so mistreated by the parents. We read about it. Not that anybody reads a newspaper anymore, but we see it on TV. I don't care whether you're watching CNN. I don't care whether you're watching MSNBC or whether you're watching Fox. I don't know why you'd be watching those other ones. But you're going to see the stories and the accounts of people who have had so many abusive things in their life, and they can't get over it. Some people are living with the consequences of physical, emotional, and verbal abuse from their youth. Those abuses remain the source of anger or deep bitterness years later. How you are treated by people can be so damaging, making your anger understandable. How do you treat others who are the source of your anger? Okay, so you've been treated like that. Now, how do you deal with it? What should a person do? Should they do to them what was done to them? Is it an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Jesus said, you have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say, turn the other cheek. How many times, Peter said, should I turn the other cheek? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. We say, okay, now I'm up to 489. Now what do I do? Come on, who's keeping score? Forgiveness, unmerited grace, and mercy. Insensitivity, judgmental attitude, bullying, unkind, uncaring attitude, talking down. What makes you angry? Do you know? What do you do about your anger? Remember, very important, anger is one letter away from danger. Anger is one letter away from danger. A-N-G-E-R, put a D, you've got D-A-N-G-E-R. It's dangerous to have uncontrolled anger. But so many of us are living with it. In an article about bitterness, author Max Lucado relates the following real story. Quote, it's not fair. That's what Wanda Holloway of Channel View, Texas said when it looked like her 14-year-old daughter wouldn't get elected to the cheerleading squad. Wanda got angry. She decided to get even. Remember President Kennedy? Don't get mad. Get even. She hired a hitman to kill the mother of her daughter's chief competitor, hoping to upset the girl. Hoping her daughter would then make the squad. Anger, bitterness will do that to you. It'll cause you to burn down your house to kill a rat. Fortunately, her plan failed, and Wanda Holloway was caught. She was sentenced to 15 years behind bars. But truth be known, she didn't have to be put behind bars. Her anger was her prison. Anger and bitterness are the building blocks that lock you behind the walls and make a prison of your own emotions. The Bible gives some instructions on handling anger and angry feelings, and here are four that might help you to manage your anger. Number one, remember, you create and you control your own anger. You create it and you control it. You find the reason to be angry. It just whelms up inside of you, and now it's there. And in some cases, we believe we can't manage that. It's just there. There's no controlling it. But listen to Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. In other words, he can let it rip, or he can hold it back. Some people believe that there's not much they can do about their angry feelings, because they believe those feelings are caused by what happens to them. But we just read Proverbs 29:11 that says you don't have to vent your anger. In control of that anger, you can have control of that anger with God's help. You don't have to vent it. You don't have to blow up. You don't have to. The verse says, with God's help, you have the capacity to manage your anger, or it will manage you. That's your choice. Will you manage your anger, or will you let your anger manage you? And what we see being exercised on the streets of our country today is people who are out of control, and they're allowing that out of control nature to destroy lives, hurt people, blow things up, and tear down the foundations of our country. Number two, choose a better way to manage your anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. How in the world do I do that? God acknowledges in this verse that there will be times when you will be angry. That's the way it is. It's in here. Remember we said that early on. It's in here. There are times when things are going to get you angry. But you can deal with your anger in one of two ways. You can deal with your anger in a healthy way, or you can deal with your anger in an unhealthy way. And it's the healthy way that you want to deal with it. Angry feelings can be poison. Have you been angry? You don't have to raise your hand. I can just look at you, I can tell. Have you ever been angry? And how does those angries manifest themselves? Remember how that pressure built up inside of you? The medical community says anger can cause major health problems, heart disease, high blood pressure, strokes, gastrointestinal symptoms. Blowing up in an effect to release your anger may seem like the appropriate response. But in her book, Help for Your Emotions, Lynn Clark, PhD, writes this. It's a myth to believe my only two choices regarding my anger are to express it or hold it in. Actually, there is another choice. Turn it down. Turn it down. And what do I mean by that? Number three, God has given healing power to the passage of time. God has given healing power to the passage of time. Look at James 1:19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. James writes, when angry feelings rise up, you should slow down. I mean, it's in there. Now you want to do something. And we see so-and-so getting shot, so-and-so getting stabbed, so-and-so getting beat up. What is that? That's those angry feelings inside that are not being controlled. What if that person, when they felt those angry feelings, walked away? You know, one of the bad things in our society today is the cell phones and the iPhones and the smartphones. Because before, when you got angry at so-and-so, if you wanted to tell them how angry you were, you'd have to go down the street, down the road, two blocks past it, another town, to let them know just how ticked off you were. And by the time you got there, you were saying to yourself, what am I standing here for? Now, I do that all the time lately, but why am I here? But really, by the time you got to them, your anger was down. Now, Facebook, blah, 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 and everything you feel in your head is now on the little box. The little gray cells have gone crazy on the box. And now people can read exactly how you felt at that particular moment. There's no buffer. Slow down before you pick up the device and decide you're going to vent your spleen on Facebook or one of those other things. Stop. Take a deep breath. Pray. Someone said, the trouble with letting off steam is that it only gets you into more hot water. Amen, 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 amen. Find a way to slow things down. Mrs. Fulton Osler, whose husband wrote the classic book on the life of Christ, The Greatest Story Ever Told, once said she used to count to 10 when she got angry to slow things down. But then one day she found something better. She thought of the first 10 words of the Lord's Prayer. Now, instead of counting to 10, she slowly repeats, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Try that. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Slow it down. When you get angry, pray. Ephesians 4:26, the last half of the verse says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Over time, In the course of the day, the heat of your anger will cool. That's the time to make things right with God and with others. You don't go off and talk to somebody in the heat of your emotions. I will guarantee if you do that, it will come out, let me use a seminary and theological term, lousy. It ain't gonna come out right. Number four, good things can happen when you follow God's prescription for overcoming anger. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that's uproar, and evil speaking, blasphemy, vulgarity, be put away from you with all malice, bad behavior, negative ways of approaching. 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So let me ask you a bunch of questions, real easy. You want to be miserable? Hang on to your anger. You want to make the people around you miserable? Hang on to somebody. Yes. Who said yes? Who said I was born for that? You want to make the people around you miserable? Hang on to your anger. You want to destroy friendships? Hang on to your anger. You want to destroy a family? Hang on to your anger. You want to split the church? Hang on to your anger. You want to steal its joy? Hang on to your anger. You want to hurt Christian brothers and sisters? Hang on to your anger. You want to destroy your testimony? Hang on to your anger. You want to hurt the cause of Jesus Christ, your Savior? Hang on to your anger. You're in control of your feelings and emotions with God's help. Pull up angry emotions as they spring up early like weeds. If you don't pull them up, they become a root of bitterness. You will soon find yourself dealing with emotional multiflora bushes. Anybody? Multiflora bushes. Anybody? Impossible to get rid of. Whatever angers you, conquers you. There is a better way. It's the biblical way. It's Christ's way. And it can become your way. Are you angry this morning? Are you still nursing old angry feelings? There is help and hope for your negative emotions. As a believer, it's already yours to claim. Surrender yourself to Jesus and allow him to do the work, a new work within you. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.